lesson. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 273, stanzas 2, 6, and 7. The time for Zion's help is near, and the time appointed in thy love. O, let thy gracious aid appear. Look thou in mercy from above. 2, 6, and 7 of Psalter 273.
Let us read together from the Gospel according to Matthew and thereof chapter 2. Matthew 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted, because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose, and took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea, in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, He shall be called a Nazarene. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we once again attempt to speak unto thee, who art so very high and who art so very holy and separate from sinners. And yet thy servant did say, Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And thou knowest how that Satan still to this day, after 6,000 years of experience, goes about to deceive the nations. Lord, then it is even with thy name upon his lips that his deceit goes forth. And thou knowest how that this world does commemorate that which is nothing but a lie and will deceive all the expectations in the end, which are worldly, which are carnal, which are devilish. Oh, that thou may give to us, each and every one, a new heart, a heart of flesh. O Lord, how deeply have we fallen away from thee in our father Adam, and thou hast descended even as Samson did go down to fight with the Philistines and David into that valley to fight with that mighty Goliath. O thou hast descended from thy high and holy place into this sin-cursed world, and that thou mightest with thy own power fight that prince of darkness, or that he may have to let go of his prey, which are thine own elect, even from that great eternity. And they are those who are the apple of thine eye, and thou wilt never leave them in the hand of that prince of darkness, so that it is impossible that he should win that warfare. All that is now our only hope, and we do beseech of thee that thou would speak from heaven thy dwelling place, and that thy spirit also may come down even in this very day, that thou who art everywhere present, that great and that eternal spirit, oh, that thou may speak unto each and every one of us, or that we may be given to know how deeply that we also have sinned against thee, and that it is not only an actual sin, but it is a sin of our hearts. It is the sin of our motives. It is the sin of our existence. Oh, it is a fallen disposition that can do nothing, that can speak nothing, that can think nothing. Oh, Lord, it can feel nothing but that which is sinful. It can only desire and it can only choose according to that fallen disposition, so that there is for us no hope. Oh, Lord, thou knowest why, that it was necessary for thee to send thine only begotten Son into this world. And that was not to be a half a Savior, but that was to save those who are not able to lift a single finger. Oh, Lord, we are not able to move our heart that we might sigh a sigh after thee, or that we might have a cry for a cry. Lord, it is all a one-sided work. And we beseech thee that thou wouldest come and that thou wouldest open our eyes for our wretched and poor condition, and that we might see, that we might feel, and that we might desire, and that we may cry. Oh, for that deliverer whom thou hast sent into this world. Oh, we may acknowledge thee that thou wast willing to receive the price from his hands, that it may be an atonement for thy church. O Lord, that it may also be for each and every one of us, that we may receive in our heart a view by thy Holy Spirit, that thou wouldst reveal thyself unto those who are distressed, those who are in need, those who cannot deliver themselves, that their eye may be given to look upon thee, and that they may be given to see who is now that child that was born in Bethlehem, and who hast descended so low for the sake of that warfare, that thou mayest bruise that head of Satan, that thou mayest take away all his power. O Lord, then everything goes open for a guilty and for a sinful and for a wretched and a miserable people. Oh, that we may be given such a sight, O Lord, of thy great goodness and of thy love and of thy mercy and of thy grace, that it may be for the first time, that it may be by renewal, and that would be the greatest gift that we can receive in this day, if it may come out of thy hand. Oh, that it may be even for the children and for the young people, maybe with desires, as sometimes after all that the world desires, because that world lives in all of our hearts. O Lord, take their hearts by thy own hand and give them to see the blessedness of thy service and the beauty of all that thou hast provided for those who are so unworthy of it. Look upon us then in this hour and care for all the needy ones. Thou knowest the places where they are in the midst of this world. Oh, there is so much misery that we have to experience because of our own sin. And thou knowest the sicknesses, and thou knowest the diseases, the weaknesses of the body, the weaknesses of the mind, and thou knowest the mourning. Lord, thou knowest each one of them also in our own community, our congregation, and thou knowest the addictions that are suffered by so many in this world, and by the power of that prince of darkness, the power of drugs, the power of drinking. And Lord, then there are so many things, oh, that thou mayest deliver. Thou who art able and hast more power, and then all the power of the prince of darkness and all his dominion, and that is in that bottom of hell. Oh Lord, that thou would restrain him, and that thou may give, and that also in the midst of our denomination, thy word may go forth with power, that this which thou hast done in the sending of thine only begotten Son may be preached by the mouths of those who are converted and who are called by thee to do so, to stand before the congregations, for the sake of the youth, of the children, the rising generation. Thou knowest all of the great need, also for teachers in the midst of our denomination. Lord, bind that matter upon the heart of our young people, especially upon the hearts of our young men, and that may be given by thy Spirit to give themselves to that most worthy work for the coming and the prospering of thy kingdom, for the instruction of the children and of the youth that do arise. Oh, that thou may look upon us in thy mercy, and that thou may give also in the nation wherein that we do dwell. When our government is in great turmoil, Lord, we beseech thee that thou would speak, and that thou would bring us back again. Oh, give to us men who may truly be brought in the dust before thee, who may truly acknowledge the name of God Most High, and that may turn us back again and with laws in accordance with thy holy word of truth. Bind it upon their hearts. Turn us back from all the ways of sin and of Satan. Do remember those who do suffer persecution for the sake of the name of thy dear Son over the length and breadth of this whole world. Wilt thou be on their right and on their left hand, and wilt thou supply for them when they are persecuted, as thou didst also flee unto Egypt. O Lord, thou dost know what it is to be there far away, Oh, that thou mayest succor those who are also persecuted, and that thou may give them a little blessing from above in the low place wherein that thou dost lead them. Look upon us in this hour. Help us, O Lord, to bring thy word for a little while. Give us a little entrance by thy Spirit. Give us a little blessing from a heaven. Give us a little token of thy nearness, thy presence, and thy favor. And both young and old together, undeservedly, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 403, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing unto our God. 'Tis right and pleasant for his saints to tell his praise abroad. All the stanzas of Psalter 403. Beloved congregation, Christmas is for us a very joyous occasion. That was not so, however, for the Lord Jesus Christ himself, because that was the day of the beginning of his suffering, and that began in the day of his birth already. Christmas is a commemoration of the beginning of the state of Christ's humiliation. Were you ever humiliated? And what would you like to do at that moment? Do you commemorate that moment? Do you celebrate that moment? You say, I like that moment to disappear out of my life. Why then do we commemorate the humiliation of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, that was an act. It was an act of his great love that he was willing to leave the glory of his Father and to condescend into that sin-cursed earth that it had become because of our fault. What was so humiliating about the Lord Jesus coming into this world? That was not his incarnation. That was not his becoming a person, becoming a man. That was not humiliating in and of itself. Because when Adam was created, and that was no humiliation, no, Adam was created in a very glorious way. But sin was the cause that Adam had received humiliation. The Lord Jesus was no sinner. And yet, he came to this earth suffering all the consequences of sin. That means, boys and girls, that the Lord Jesus appeared just like you and I, just like all of us. It looked to everyone just like Jesus also was a sinner, like we are, because he was also sick sometimes, and he was also weak. Oh, he also was poor. And all those things are the consequences of our sin. They are just a little bit of death, which is the punishment for our sin. And thus we have the great humiliation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And something of that we wish to consider in this hour out of the words of our text, which we have heard read out of Matthew 2, and we wish to consider with you the 23rd verse. Matthew 2, verse 23. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. So far the words of our text. Christ to be called a Nazarene. First, a name by which he was despised by many. Second, a name willingly received by himself. And third, a name of great encouragement to his church. Christ to be called a Nazarene, a name by which he was despised by many. Second, a name willingly received by himself. And third, a name of great encouragement to his church. He shall be called a Nazarene. Who called him that? It is thought, actually, that the first to call him that was the devil. The devil which had possessed a person in this world. And that devil did cry out against him. I know thee who thou art, Jesus of Nazareth. Thus, the devil himself, we know, is under God's hand. There is nothing that the devil can do, and that the Lord has not to allow him to do, to permit him to do. He can go no further with Job. And then the Lord says is allowed unto him, and that is with everything. And yet that devil remains a free agent. That means he has a will, and he is doing according to his own will. And therefore the devil, just like you and I, are responsible for the things that we do. In what way then did the devil use that name? He used that name, Jesus of Nazareth, to denigrate the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though it was by God's power extorted from him a confession, and that the Lord Jesus was divine. But why was that? That name of Jesus of Nazareth, why was that a name that was so denigrating? We know that Nazareth was in the northern part of Galilee. And in that northern part of Galilee, it existed as a small, poor village at the time of the Lord Jesus Christ. That place was despised by the higher classes that existed in the world and amongst the Jewish people. They were the more refined people, we would say, the more educated people, and they looked down at the common people of Galilee and of Nazareth. And so we hear Nathanael, he says, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? That was now the general sentiment of that Jewish people. They were also, being in the northern part of the land, exposure to other countries, so that there were also many Gentiles who lived, especially in northern Galilee. Nazareth was in the southern part of Galilee. But the fact that Gentiles lived, that was considered to be polluting. So those in Judea considered themselves to be of a purer kind than those who were from Galilee, who were from Nazareth. The poor are despised in this world. The poor are often despised even in the church. Solomon, he says, the poor is hated even as of his own neighbor. But the rich hath many friends. Is that also your case, young people, children, when you are in school and you see those that have not as much as you have? And then you lift yourself up over others because you have more than they do. That is an awful thing. Be careful. What hast thou, the Bible says, that thou hast not received? And so why should we glory if we have received it? And as if we have not, as if we have not received it? No, that was not the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan, he would like to have everyone look at the Lord Jesus Christ and have very low thoughts of him. That Satan had a desire to point always at the lowly origins of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that Satan has a lot of influence in the world. And he has a lot of influence also in the church. How much influence does he have even in our own heart? Jesus was generally known. Jesus was generally referenced among the Jews by this name of Jesus of Nazareth. And it seems that the enemies of Jesus took no greater delight than to use this name and to call him by this name. Even the maids of Caiaphas that were in his palace, or they see Peter, and then they say, this man was also with Jesus of Galilee. Or this man, this fellow, was also with Jesus of Nazareth. Thus, it was used often as a name to point to the fact that he was a lowly person, that he was an uneducated person, that he was a poor person, that he was a person that was without knowledge in this world. But there is more than that. Because it was also that it was a proof to some of those Jews that he was not the Messiah. Because we read in the Bible when the Lord Jesus went about doing good, and when he went about speaking, that there was a division. Some of the people believed in him. Some of the people, they said of a truth, this is the Christ. And they said, this is that prophet. But then there were others that said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Doth not the scripture say, and that he should be of the seed of David? Does not the scripture say that he shall come out of Bethlehem where David was? Thus, when he was called Jesus of Nazareth, all that was also to point to the people and to say to them, see, this is now not the one. This cannot be the one. He cannot be the Messiah. That was a name that was used to denigrate him. That was also in the Sanhedrin. We know that Nicodemus, he was also there in the Sanhedrin, and so many accusations coming against the Lord Jesus. And then at one point, Nicodemus says, now doth our law condemn a man before it hears him? Do we not have to have him come here that he may speak for himself? And then what do they answer him? Well, then they are taunting him. Say, Nicodemus, art thou also from Galilee? Art thou also from that ignorant people? From that place where those people do not know what the prophets have said, search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. That was not true, but that is what they said. In his crucifixion, then we read that Pilate is also mocking the Jewish people. And he writes above that cross of Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And so he is mocking them. Oh, that king, what kind of a king do you have? Do you have a king that is so lowly as Jesus of Nazareth? And, oh, the Jews felt it. They felt it very much. That is what made them cry out. Oh, they said, do not write that he is the King of the Jews. We do not receive such a king. No, we have no king but Caesar. They will not humble themselves, they will not come so low as to have a king over them who was from Nazareth. Then we read later on of the Apostle Paul, and he is accused of being a pestilent fellow, a mover of sedition amongst all the Jews of the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. And so we can hear how that people were despised, and thus we say a name by which he was despised by many. That is our first thought. But now in our second thought, a name willingly received by himself. We do not know, congregation, so much of what was living in the heart of Joseph and Mary. How much do we know of what is living in your heart? Maybe you do not know so much, husbands and wives, of what is living in the heart of one another. And why not? Well, because there are so few words that are recorded in the Bible of Joseph and Mary. Mary, of course, we know the song and that she has sung. But we read that Joseph did not immediately after the Lord Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Joseph did not immediately take Mary and the child back to Nazareth. We know that the wise men, when they came, they visited that child when he was in Bethlehem. And we know that that was some time after, maybe anywhere up to that he was a year old or 2 years old, after that the Lord Jesus was born. Following this, we have in the history that we have heard and that Joseph had to take the mother and the child, and he had to flee into Egypt. And then they had to wait. They had to wait until Herod was dead. And then it was only after this that they end up in Nazareth again. And that is by the direction, the special and direct direction of the Lord Jesus, of the Lord, that is given unto Joseph from heaven, and all the providences of the Lord by which Joseph is led. Maybe that was a surprise to Joseph and to Mary. You say, why did they not go back right away? When that baby was born in Bethlehem and those shepherds, they have visited that child in that stable. You say, why did Joseph not take Mary and go back with the Lord Jesus unto Nazareth? Well, we do not know. But we can, of course, understand it, can't we? Because they knew. Mary understood well from the angel of the Lord who that this child was going to be, and that he would be the anointed king over Israel, the people of the Lord. How would that happen? Well, they do not know how that is going to happen. They don't know that. But then they have their thoughts, of course. And if we did not know that, what would be our thoughts? Because Joseph and Mary, and they were just people like you and I. And so our thoughts about how that the Lord is going to fulfill this crowning of his son, the Lord does not work like the world works. And what are then our thoughts? That is always that there has to be some kind of an increasing. Must be some kind of increasing, perhaps, in the minds of the people, so that things will go forward, and that eventually that it will build to such a place that the Lord Jesus, he is anointed to be king over that people of the Lord. That is, congregation, the way in that we think. We actually do not know another way. To say it more honestly, we actually don't want another way. But now the Lord Jesus, he is willing to go a different way. And therefore, by God's own direction and by God's own providence, they, in God's own time, are led back again to Nazareth. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. Thus, it says, that it might be fulfilled. That means it was necessary that the Lord Jesus come there and dwell in Nazareth, because there is the Word of God, and the Word of God must be fulfilled also in this. Thus, which was spoken by the prophets. What prophet was that? Where do we read that in the Bible? Well, it does not say one prophet, but the word is in the plural. It is spoken by the prophets. So, where is that then? Well, we may try to look, and if we look all over the prophets in the Old Testament, then we cannot find a place that is specifically speaking about the Lord Jesus dwelling in Nazareth. We have heard, of course, from Isaiah 11 in the first verse, that there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And then there are those that believe, and that this is the place that the evangelist here is speaking about. Because that word branch that we heard a little about, that little twig that would come out of that dead stump, that is the word netzer in Hebrew. And the Staten Bible says that Nazareth, netzer, Nazareth, that sounds kind of the same, doesn't it, children? Netzer, Nazareth. Well, they were not speaking in English, of course. But they say that the word Nazareth, that name, is coming out of that same word Netzer. Some believe it is actually a play on words, which happens often also in the Bible, between that Hebrew language and that Aramaic language. So it was a word in the Aramaic that was spoken in Jesus' time that sounded very similar to that name of Nazareth, Netzer. So he was called Jesus the Branch, Jesus the Netzer, Jesus the Nazarene. Regardless of how that is, the main point here in the Word of God is the point of his humiliation. And that is, congregation, clearly prophesied in the Old Testament. Because what did David say? He said, by way of prophecy of that king, he said, I am a worm and no man. He says, a reproach of men and despised of the people. And we know that Isaiah has prophesied the same in his, we would say, the Old Testament gospel. And when he has prophesied that he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and that we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Thus the accomplishment that is very much aided by association, by the place where the Lord Jesus grew up, the place where that the Lord Jesus lived, in Nazareth of Galilee. Christ, that was very commonly known by this name in the time that he was living, Jesus of Nazareth. And we never read that the Lord Jesus has objected to the use of that name. No, it is actually just the opposite. That he has received that name. He has himself been in direction of the very place where he had to dwell as that divine being when he was even a little child, that is all under his own control. And we know that when he was apprehended and those soldiers come to him in the garden, and then we hear him saying, whom seekest thou? And what do they say? They say, Jesus of Nazareth. What does he say? I am he. Not one time, but two times over again. Or then he himself has readily taken that place, that name, unto himself. And the shame of the church, unto himself. And now, as with every other name that the Lord Jesus has in the Word of God, because he is called by many different names, they are also very important, because those names tell us something about him, and those names communicate something about him unto mankind. But let us sing first from Psalter 207. So stanzas 3 and 4, 207, stanzas 3 and 4. When from heaven and thy sentence sounded, all the earth in fear was still, and while to save the meek and lowly, God in judgment wrought his will, in the wrath of men shall praise thee, thy designs it shall fulfill. 3 and 4 of 207. Our last thought, a name of great encouragement to his church, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, he shall be called a Nazarene. Congregation, if you and I are to be saved, then we need a Savior that is very unlike ourselves. To be very unlike to ourselves. That is not in all respects, of course, but in respect of his holiness, in respect of his righteousness, in respect of his wisdom, in respect of his power, if he were in any way in all of these things like unto us, then you understand it would not be possible for us to be saved by him, because he must be in every way holy and righteous and all wise, as we have heard, and he must have a power that so exceeds our own. Is that not so? Do you not feel that? But now that presents us also with a problem. A problem. And what is that problem? Well, that is this. In order to receive the application, then it is necessary that we draw nigh to him. That we draw nigh to him. Then we cannot remain apart from him. We cannot be far from him. But we need to approach him. And now the more unlike that he is to us, the more impossible that it is for us to approach him and to come anywhere near unto him. When Gabriel appeared unto Daniel, then we read Daniel fell on his face. That was because of the holiness of that being. That he has come out of that holy place of God. And Daniel felt, and we will feel that too, when the Lord is appearing on the clouds, that we are not able to come anywhere near unto that holy majesty of God. We read that that same great angel Gabriel has also appeared unto Zacharias, unto Mary, and how that they have feared, how that they have trembled. How can a man come near unto that holy divine majesty? When the Lord descended upon Mount Sinai, when he descended with that law of God to write that for his people, then we read that people were not allowed to come near unto that mountain, to touch that mountain. But even so, they felt themselves much too close. Because then we read that that people fled. They fled from that presence and that holy majesty of God. How then shall it be possible for a sinful creature who has fallen so low as you and I have fallen, to approach unto that holy majesty of that Son of God? Because we read John saw him in his glory. He said that the hairs of his head, they were as white as wool, white as snow. And that his eyes, they were like a flaming fire. Thus, what are the impressions? Does the Lord ever give to you impressions in your soul of who that the Lord is? That you say, who am I and how is it possible that I may draw near unto Him? Oh, the Lord makes a man meek. The Lord makes a man very, very meek. The centurion, the Gentile, and his servant is sick, and he did not dare go. He did not dare go. He sent others to the Lord Jesus. Neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee. Oh, he felt what a heathen, what a Gentile, what a filthy and what a polluted creature that he was. And now the Apostle Paul addresses just this issue when he writes to the Hebrews. And then he says, for we have not an high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Thus, what does he speak about? Well, he speaks about his humiliation. He speaks about his condescension. A high priest who has endured those same afflictions, the consequences of our sin. And why is it that the Apostle Paul is speaking about that condescension? Well, just for that reason that we have mentioned. Because he continues and he says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Boldly. What does that mean, boys and girls? Are you bold? I hope you are not bold. When you approach your mother, when you approach your father, that is sinful. And when you approach the Lord, we have no rights, and no right to anything but condemnation. So we may not come boldly, no, we must come reverently. What does the Apostle Paul mean? Well, a black and a wretched and a guilty and a wicked sinner has something very, very bold to ask when he approaches this mediator. What does he want to ask for? Well, if someone has done some things that were very, very wrong, boys and girls, and then they just say, well, I want you just to forgive me. I want you just to look over it. And then you say, what do you think? What do you think? You have done wrong. You are bold. Yeah, that is what it is. That is what it is. With no payment, with nothing in my hands I bring, and nothing wherewith that I can please the Lord, and that I can say to the Lord that I have done it wrong in the past, but in the future it is going to be better. Nothing to make up for all the damage, and then to approach and to ask the only thing they can ask, grace. Grace. That the Lord would forgive me, would forgive me. Is that not bold? Is that not bold? That is now what needs to be done. And which of those children of Israel were ready to approach Mount Sinai in such a way that was impossible? What is necessary? It is necessary that that guilty and polluted people do feel something of the condescension of the Lord in order that they may approach to Him reverently with a bold request. But it is the only thing they can do. It is their only hope. It is their only expectation. Is that your only hope and expectation? Mercy. Is my only hope? Mercy. Is my only plea? The shepherds, they were not told to go to the palace. No, they were sent to the stable. And that they were sent to the stable, that was for them, congregation, such a blessed invitation in itself. Christ did not only take upon Himself our human nature, but He has condescended to the very lowest classes of the people that are in this world, to the poor. He condescended so low that the rich and the high in this world despised Him. They said, Jesus of Galilee, Jesus of Nazareth. That through church, they are brought to a very low esteem of themselves. It does not matter how much they may possess in this world. Or they can be sitting in a palace. And yet, oh, the Lord will bring them down. The Lord will make them low. Do you think the Lord does not know how to do it? Oh, the Lord, He knows just how to do it for each and every one of His own. And now Christ, He has made Himself suitable for just that people in that low condition, that He may draw them. That He may draw them and that they may come unto Himself. Zechariah prophesied, rejoice, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy King cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, riding upon an ass and upon the colt of an ass. And when that blind Bartimaeus, oh, he heard that it is Jesus of Nazareth that passes by. Oh, that poor beggar sitting there by that highway side. Oh, then he began to cry. He began to cry unto Him. Did you ever do the same? He shall be called a Nazarene. That is that name by which He will be despised by so many that are high, and by which He will be magnified by those who are brought low. You know where we read, the common people heard Him gladly. The common people. And those publicans and sinners. Oh, what a wonder that was to them, that He would come and that He would eat with such people as they were. Oh, that spiritual life that is not existing along with all the glory that this world is seeking. No, it is living, it is thriving, and it is growing in those low places. Not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of this world to confound the things that are mighty, and base things of this world and things that are despised hath God chosen, and things that are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. All that is now the people for whom he is come. Hannah was mocked, boys and girls. Hannah was mocked, but she got the blessing. She got the greatest blessing. Do you understand that, young people? The low places, the low places, they are the best places. The Lord Jesus was called a Nazarene. Oh, he was not ignorant of all those who are oppressed, all those who are afflicted. Oh, you read that of David. He was to be king, but he had to flee also. And everyone that was distressed, and everyone that was in need, and everyone that was discontented, oh, they gathered themselves unto him in his affliction. And so the Lord Jesus was called a Nazarene. You know, boys and girls, there was once apparently a bird that was in a greenhouse, just like one of those little hoop houses, they call them, right? And that bird got in there, and he could not get out. Couldn't get out. He tried to fly, but every time he would hit the ceiling. He'd go to this side and to that side. And what was now the difficulty? Well, that bird always tried to go up. You know where the door was? That was down on the bottom. And that one time that bird hit the side, and then he fell. There he was on the floor. Then he went out the door. You understand that? That is now the way that the Lord works. All the problem, young people, is not that we need to go up, is that we need to go down. And we don't want to go down. But we see where the Lord was willing to go. He was willing to go and live there in Nazareth. And now that prodigal, we think of the prodigal. He never thought of his father. He left his father, turned his back on his father, did not need his father. Until when? Until everything was spent. There he was sitting with the swine. That was now the place where his thoughts went back again to his father. And that is the place where he experienced what grace is. What grace is. We would say, then it became Christmas. The life of that young man. All do we know what that is? Grace. So free. Without money. Without price. That is given because it is bought by him who was called a Nazarene. Oh, that everyone that is afflicted, that everyone that is in distress, that everyone that is discontented may be given so to flee unto him. Never turned anyone of such a way. Canaanitish woman, she is crying and crying after the Lord Jesus. Disciples say, send her away. Oh, did Jesus do that? No. Her crying, that was annoying to the disciples. Well, they had something to learn, didn't they? But it was not so unto that Nazarene. No, he has never, the rich, yes, the rich he has sent empty away because they were too high still. But the poor, never. Oh, let that humbled soul so draw nigh unto him in those low places where, oh, where he went to dwell when he came. When he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, and he shall be called a Nazarene. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we need to be brought where thou didst come, because there thou wilt deliver thy people. O, look upon each and every one of us. O, this is our great difficulty, because we cannot come low enough. Thou must bring us low. We will never go there. And if it is right with us, then we must come there. O Lord, we beseech thee to work through. Then we must pray against ourselves, and we do not do it. But we look unto thee, that thou wouldst accomplish for us what is for our own good, and what will be for the glory of thy name, the glory of him who came to dwell in this world and came to dwell in Nazareth, but has since broken through that bond, even of death itself, and been raised to sit upon thy throne on high. O, grant us the application. Look upon us further in this week. Give us blessed thoughts of thee, meditations of thee. Bless thy holy word. Forgiving all that is amiss, remember thy servant who hopes to be here on the coming Sabbath day. Be on his right and on his left, thou knowest all that he stands in need of, and grant a blessing here in the midst and to us when we serve our the portion of our congregation in Calgary. Look upon us all together, also those that come and go and travel. Watch over each one for good, forgiving all of our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 48, 2 through 6. The suffering one he has not spurned, who unto him for succor turned. From him he has not hid his face, but answered his request in grace. But answered his request in grace. 2 through 6 of Psalter 48. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.